So let us open Genesis chapter 12. Today I want to talk about the faith of Abraham and the result of his complete trust in the Lord. So let's start with the calling of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. This is the story of the great calling of God to the great man of God who was able to change the world because of his obedience to the Lord. So Genesis 12, verse 1. Then Adonai said to Abram, "Get going out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse." It's a very interesting place of scripture. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And it is the Lord, it is the Adonai. "And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." And verse 4. So Abram went, and I had spoken to him. Also Lot went with him. And this, the last part, is a beautiful part. Now Abram was 75 years old. Wow. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So if you are 75 years old, it's a great time. You can be waiting from the Lord. And who knows, maybe you are the chosen one. What a story. Abram was so humble and so faithful. His story is the story of life led by the purpose of God. All his life. And no, Lord knows our human weaknesses. He knew that Abram would never have become Abraham if he had stayed in his home. Abraham would never have learned to trust God if he had stayed with his relatives, because he would have always been guided by their gods and humbled by their influence over his life. So the Lord told him, "Get up and go." He entered into a new life, the only foundation of which was his faith and relationship with God, who called himself his friend. And you know, we know we live in the interesting time of Facebook, and all these things are so easy to make friends right now. Yeah, just one click and your friend of whole world is your friend now. But, you know, we can call our friends whomever we want, but the Lord called Abraham his friend. Not Abraham called the Lord his friend, but the Lord called him, "You are my friend," which is great. And it was way before Facebook. Which is, I love Facebook because it allowed us to keep going and get our message to people around the world. So, through his faith and trust in the Lord, Abraham met the Messiah and received a blessing from him. So let's read a passage from today's Torah chapter. And it's a very interesting passage. It's Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 through verse 20. So through his faith, Abraham was able to meet Messiah. He met Messiah because of his trust to the Lord, his relationship with the Lord. And let us read about where it happened. So Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. "Now after he returned from defeating this king, oh boy, Chedorlaomer." Is it correct? Chedorlaomer? Or Chedorlaomer? It's a great question, yeah? Yeah, I try to find an answer, and everybody's like different. Chedorlaomer, Chedorlaomer. It's English, you know. It can be both ways. Some rule, some exception to this rule. So this is the exception. So now after he returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. This is the king's valley. And verse 18, please, it is so important to understand, to see this. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of El Elyon, Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be El Elyon, who gave over your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Let us say together, tenth of everything. I wonder who Melchizedek, king of Salem, was. It is a question. It is a very important question for us. So the name Melchizedek, Hebrew Malchizedek, in Hebrew is the king of righteousness. And Salem means shalom. In other words, his full name was the King of Righteousness and the King of Shalom, Priest of Most High God. Okay, the second question, a very important question. Who can be the King of Righteousness? Who can be the King of Shalom besides the Messiah? Because it is his title. In the scriptures, this is the title of the Messiah, King of Righteousness, a King of Shalom. I want to show one exciting psalm that reveals to us who Melchizedek was, because King David had the same understanding of him, of Melchizedek. And let us open Psalm 110. This is the messianic psalm. This is the prophecy about coming of Messiah. Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. Yeah, let's take a few seconds to open this place. It is an important place. And this is, can you imagine, this is the understanding of King David, the prophet David, about who Melchizedek was. A psalm of David. Adonai declares to my Lord. It is the beginning of this psalm. Adonai declares to my Lord. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Adonai will extend your mighty rod from Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will be a freewill offering in a day of your power. In holy splendor from Dawn's womb, yours is a due of your youth. Adonai has sworn and will not change his mind. You are the Kohen priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So, again, the beginning of the psalm. Adonai declares to my Lord. And here's, you are the Kohen forever according to the order of Melchizedek. This one who called my Lord is the Kohen forever, according to Melchizedek. My Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. So I love these words. Adonai declares to my Lord. Let's say together. Adonai declares to my Lord. So Adonai is the Lord. Is he? We pray in the name of Adonai. Declares to the Lord. I see it through messianic prophecy as the Father declares to his Son, Yeshua. It is a messianic prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. And in the letter to the Hebrews, it is more detailed about who Melchizedek was. Let us open Hebrews chapter 5 and also chapter 7, because they go together. Chapter 5 and chapter 7, it is explanation, messianic understanding of who Melchizedek was, Melchizedek. Hebrews 5, verse 5 and 6. So also Messiah did not glorify himself to be made Kohen Gadol, high priest. So, Messiah, he's not the man who became perfect and then he became Adonai. He was born Adonai. He came as Adonai into this world. Rather, it was God who said to him, "You are my son, today I have become your father." And he says in a different passage, "You are a Kohen, a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." So Messiah, he is Melchizedek. And chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek was king of Salem, Kohen of God or priest of God, Most High, El Elyon in Hebrew, Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth of everything. First, by the translation of his name, he is King of Righteousness. King of Righteousness. I can't imagine the man who is wearing this name, King of Righteousness. And then also King of Salem, which is King of Shalom. King of Shalom. Without father, I love this part, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days, who can be without beginning of days? Think about it. Very interesting. Without beginning of days nor end of life, find me the person who doesn't have end of life. I want to meet him. But made like Ben Elohim or Son of God, he remains a Kohen, the priest, for all time. Verse 4. Here's even more. Now see how great this man is. Even Abraham, the patriarch, gave him a tenth out of the plunder. Even the Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, the first man who believed the Lord, the first Jew, he gave everything, all the tithe, to this, the greatest, Melchizedek. And remember, this is the letter to the Jews, to Hebrews, to us, because we know Torah. We know about Melchizedek. Verse 7, now it is beyond dispute that the lesser is blessed by the greater. In one case, dying men receive tithes. But in the other, one about whom it is testified that he lives on. Who lives on? Melchizedek. Through Abraham, even Levi, the one receiving tithes, had paid the tithe, so to speak. Can you imagine Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish people and the father of all priesthoods from the tribe of Levi, gave a tithe of everything to the one who has no mother, no father, no date of birth, no genealogy, and who remains the Kohen Gadol, high priest, forever? I have a question for us. Who can it be? Okay, I don't want to answer this. You can find the answer for yourself. When humanity was corrupted and sinful, the Lord found one faithful person named Abraham, and the King Messiah came to bless him personally. He came to bless him. And ever since that time, Abraham became a blessing to the nations, a man of God and a friend of God, who met his friend actually a couple times face to face. In the next chapter, we will find that Abraham again met the Lord. And you know what? He already knew him. When he saw him from afar, he ran to him because he recognized him. But it will be later, next week. His life is an example for nations to follow, Abraham's life. Thanks to Abraham, the world is forever changed, forever. And do you remember the calling of Abraham? It is verse 2. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great, so that you may be a blessing. So Abraham's calling is to be a blessing to all the peoples on the earth and to guide of God's will for every person and an example to follow. But there is another significant promise that the Lord makes to Abraham. Let us open Genesis chapter 13 and let us read one more promise I would like to talk about today. Genesis 13 verse 16. It is a great place of scripture. I love it. I love this place. It is so deep. So, here it is. Are you ready? Yes. Not yet, not everyone. I can hear that wonderful sound of the Bible. So, encouraging place of scripture. I will make your seed like the dust of the earth, so that if one could count the dust of the earth, then your seed could also be counted. So, the Lord here in this place tells Abraham that no one can count his offspring because it will be as many as there is grains of sand on the earth. Multiple. Many. But we can know that the people of Israel are far from the most numerous nations on the earth. Actually, I believe it's 19th in the place. So it's not the biggest one. What is the biggest nation on the earth today? Do you know? Of course, Chinese, you know. Also India, also Russia. So we have many, many nations who are actually greater. And do you remember the Lord in the book of Exodus, he told the Jewish people, he told them, I called you and chose you not because you're bigger or stronger, but because I promised to Abraham, I love you. So, the Lord said that you will be so huge, so many of you, but we know that Jewish people is not numerous, not so many of us. If it is so, what kind of offspring does the Lord speak about? This is the question. Let's read one fascinating passage from the Torah, which gives us an interesting explanation of this statement. Genesis 17, verse 3 through verse 5. Genesis 17, 3 through 5. So, do you remember chapter 13, 16? No one can even count. You will be so many, so multitude. Your sons, so many of them. And Genesis 17, verse 3. Abram fell on his face while he was talking to the Lord. And God spoke with him, saying, for my part, because my covenant is with you, you will be father of a multitude of nations. No longer will your name be Abram, but your name will be Abraham, because I make you the father of a multitude of nations. Let's say multitude of nations. So twice in this place, multitude of nations. Imagine, here the Lord is already saying that Abraham will be the father of many nations, multitude of nations. It turns out that the calling of Abraham and God's plan for his future far exceeded all possible ideas, understandings, and dreams of Abraham. When Abraham answered the Lord yes and followed him, he could never imagine what his trust in God would lead to and what the great calling would be on him. He will be the father of multitudes of nations. Let us open Genesis 15, verse 5 and 6. It's an amazing place of scripture here. Genesis 15, 5, 6. He took him outside, the Lord took Abraham outside and said, "Look up now at the sky and count the stars. If you are able to count them," and it's impossible for sure. Maybe it's possible in the big city because it's light there, so it's only one star. Yeah. The star named Moon, it's all. But, yeah, it's very difficult to count the stars in the wilderness or in the any places. "If you are able to count them," then he said to him, "so shall your seed be." And verse 6, it's a fascinating verse. "Then he believed in Adonai, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." Only in chapter 15, verse 6. After all the years of following the Lord, this moment, when Abraham, it says here, you can read it, he believed, and it reckoned him as righteousness. The Lord had to take Abraham out of his tent, from his usual place, to expand his vision, trust, and faith. When Abraham raised his head and saw the stars, he heard the voice of God in his heart and accepted his words. And only then could he fully trust the Lord. It was the crucial moment in the life of Abraham. So it looks like Abraham had to walk before the Lord for many years before he was able to trust fully and became righteousness, according to this text. I have a question for us. How often does the Lord want us to come out of our tent, our very narrow and limited perception of the Lord? You know, when I thought about it, our tent is our life, our ideas, and our limited faith, limited trust to the Lord. But only when we lift our heads to the stars, having heard the voice of God, when we look at the sky and not at our tent, only then we will be able to believe in the omnipotence of the Lord. You know, our Lord is great. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent, not limited by anything or anyone. And you know, truth is, he can do everything. And we need to believe and trust him completely as Abraham did. Imagine, he had already followed the Lord for many years, served him with his life, paid the price, gave up everything for God's sake, but was still unable to trust completely at that moment. Until that moment, it took a long time until Abraham raised his eyes to the stars and stopped looking at his tent, at himself, at his strengths, his limitations, his weaknesses and defeats of the past, at his experience. Something switched in Abraham's heart and his mind, and he truly believed. And only then his faith credited to him as righteousness. Genesis chapter 15. You can check me. So it is his trust that made him righteous. And it is not different for us. Genesis 15, 6 again. "Then he believed in Adonai, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." We need to trust the Lord. What do you think? Amen. He saw God, believed him, trusted in his omnipotence, and ceased to be limited and weak. Abraham, through his faith, opened the way for the Lord to move in his life and fulfill the impossible, impossible things. So Abraham became the father of many nations. Let's just say together, many nations. So he became the father of Isaac, the father of the Jewish people. Amen. And also Abraham became the spiritual father of all people who believe in Yeshua. Through his faith, he became the father of many nations. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through verse 9. Let us open. Galatians 3, 6 through 9. I found it very interesting because today we live in a very interesting time and we need to trust the Lord. We need to believe in Him and follow Him. And we need to believe in His calling to our life. It is hard to live without trust in the Lord and in His calling. It is very difficult right now. You need to open your mind and your heart to believe in more from the Lord. It's very interesting. Galatians 3:6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Know then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. So those who have faith are children of Abraham. The scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the good news to Abraham in advance, saying, all the nations shall be blessed through you. So then, the faithful are blessed along with Abraham, the faithful one. So this most important part here, those who have faith are children of Abraham. A significant statement by the Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, that believers are the children of Abraham. So, truth is, Abraham indeed became the father of many nations and a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Therefore, Abraham's calling and blessing are much, much larger and broader than people can think. But it is essential to understand and realize that during his life on this earth, Abraham never saw the fulfillment of this calling, this promise that the Lord gave him. Again, let us open Hebrews 11, verse 8 and 10. And this is the promise that the Lord gave to Abraham. Shows that he is the man of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 8 and verse 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. It is a wonderful trip, yeah? Lord said to him, come with me, Abraham. You will go, you don't know where you go. I will lead you, you don't know where I led you. I lead you. Verse 10. For he was waiting for the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Amen. It was only many years later that this promise began to be fulfilled in its fullness. Today, how many descendants of Isaac, the sons of Israel today? No one today can count the number of people who believe in Jesus, Yeshua, and through Yeshua, in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No one can count. It's a multitude of nations. So great is our Lord, and how great are His plans on this earth. And now I would like to take some interesting lessons for us for today. We need to remember that the Lord plans thousands of years when He gives us a calling. Think about it. When He called you, you know you're today, you're tomorrow. You have plans maybe a week ahead, maybe a year ahead. Actually, it's very dangerous to plan a year ahead right now. Better to just, okay, if the Lord will help me, I will do that. But when the Lord called you, He thinks thousands of years ahead. You have no idea, no clue what the Lord has prepared for you. As Abraham, he thought about one son, about Isaac, and it was enough for him. Abraham was so grateful for one son, but in the eyes of the Lord, it was multitudes of nations. More than Abraham can even think of and dream of, beyond his imagination. And we need to understand how much depends on our obedience to him. Generations and generations when we are obedient to the Lord. Friends, when you say yes to the Lord and follow him by faith, follow his calling, it may seem to you that nothing is happening. The day changes to another, and you continue your ministry without seeing anything, as Abraham did for many, many, many years. Please, in this moment, remember that the Lord thinks for thousands of years ahead about your children, the grandchildren of those people you have served. You have no idea, but the Lord already plans that you do something now that will influence your grandchildren or grandchildren of people you serve to, and for whom you have become a blessing. Therefore, I want to talk about a fundamental issue now. The uniqueness of Abraham's calling is that it includes all the peoples of the earth. To some extent, Abraham's calling is God's way of restoration and healing for this divided world, which was divided at building the Babylonian Tower. Do you remember that place of Scripture? They tried to build the tower up to the heaven. Because of their pride and rebellion, the Lord confused people, and they were divided into different languages and people groups. And now, because of Abraham's faith, obedience, and humbleness, all people can be united in Messiah through the faith of Abraham. Every person who accepts Yeshua by faith, the Jewish Messiah, becomes the spiritual son of Abraham. This raises an essential question: what Jewish messianic synagogues are? Today we have hatred and war between the brothers in many cases. They're brothers, but they don't know it. They just fight with each other. Between sons of Abraham. The Lord has a much broader calling for us than we can imagine. He wants to bring unity and restoration through the faith in Yeshua, the Messiah, through the calling of Abraham, which is the faith, trust in God. 2 Corinthians 5:18. I want to read it. Accept it by faith. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us for himself, to himself, through Messiah, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the ministry of reconciliation. It's to bring people under Messiah, and through Messiah under God of Abraham. The Messianic synagogue has a unique place in the heart of the Lord. It is a place for the Jewish people to come. It is a spiritual home, a spiritual flock, and it is also a spiritual home for people from all the nations of the earth who accepted by faith the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Isaiah 56, let us open. It is an important place of Scripture, and this is the last place for today. Isaiah 56, verse 6 and 7. The promise from the Lord to all of us. It is about interesting time, about Messianic movement, I believe so. Isaiah 56, verse 6 and 7. Also the foreigners, the people from all the nations, who join themselves to Adonai, to minister to him and to love the name of Adonai and to be his servants, all who keep from profaning Shabbat and hold fast to my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Let us say, for all nations, including people who live in America, from all nations. House of the Lord, not only for the Jewish people or for the people from other nations. It is for all of us together. This is the calling of Abraham. Unity and healing in his presence, in his calling. It is an amazing place. This is why Yeshua said that I have another sheep that are not from this fold, and they also will be the same flock, people from all the nations. When we sing Jewish songs, read the Torah, celebrate Shabbat in the synagogue, we return to the apostles' times, to the first Messianic church, the early Messianic community. You can call it how you want, but the same idea. Unfortunately, most of Christianity has wandered far from the Jewish roots of the Bible, observing many traditions which have no Bible foundation. As a young developing religion, Christianity became alienated from its Jewish roots. It began to claim ownership of the rights to the blessings God had promised to Israel, and by extension, the apostles and the Messiah himself. Although its roots lie in Judaism, council after council, priests were forbidden to mention Jewish origin, the Jewish Messiah, the Jewish Word of God, the Jewishness of apostles, biblical Jewish holidays. They tried to cancel everything Jewish. Cancel. Erased. Jewish songs, Jewish biblical holidays, and the simplicity of worship have gone from the church. But today, all over the face of the earth, we are now witnessing tremendous transformations. We see the restoration of an awareness of the richness of the Jewish heritage that has been ignored for so many centuries. And an essential part of this restoration, I believe it with all my heart, is it is the birth of the Jewish Messianic communities. It is the restoration of what was lost for many centuries. We are now engaged in restoring the Jewish Messianic community, which we read about in the book of Acts. We are rebuilding a community in which Jews and non-Jews can worship together and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Through the ministry of the Messianic communities, we show this Messiah to our people of Israel, the Messiah who was sent to the Jewish people, who was, who is, and will always be. His name, Yeshua, the name which the angel revealed to his family, the name which his parents called him, his brothers, and all the Jews, the only name by which man can be saved. That name means salvation. In some extent, we are the bridge between two banks, the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world. It is from the Lord. This is the ministry of restoration. Together, believers in Yeshua make up the ecclesia, the body of the Messiah. And remember that we are all children of Abraham through faith. Thank you so much. I would like to ask my wife Ina to join me, and let us stand together. A lot to think about in this Torah chapter. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. And let us pray. Yevarech ha Adonai veishmarecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yissa Adonai panavelecha vayasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.